STR podcasts are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
Hi there, this is Belinda the Enforcer, and this is the STR Ask Podcast. I'm here with Greg Kokel.
Hi there.
Who will be put on a timer, answering questions in 4 minutes or less, and the questions come from Twitter. So you can go to Twitter. If you don't have an account, it's easy to open one. Fun to follow Stand to Reason and other people on Twitter. And just pose us your question. Just add hashtag STRAsk to it. That's how we find it. And then we post two new episodes every week, Mondays and Thursdays. Short podcast, short answers, and the usual long podcast is still posted every week, too. So before we jump into some of the questions, I just wanted to mention we're in the middle of December already.
Mm.
And right after the first of the year, Greg has a couple speaking events that people in these areas might be interested in. In January 4th and 5th, he's going to be speaking in New Orleans.
Right.
At, notice how I said that, New Orleans.
You got it right.
Not New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Well, that's just like trying to pretend like you have an accent. I'm not trying to pretend. New Orleans. And then, I'm not from Louisiana saying this.
Mm-hmm.
From California saying this. But he's going to be speaking at the conference with the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. And they do an apologetics conference every January.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday,
that's the 4th and 5th.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
And then January 8th, that Sunday, he's going to be speaking at River City Christian Church up in Sacramento, California.
Three services. Or...
yeah. You can find more information for these at str.org/training/events. You can go to the homepage, go to training in the menu, and there's a little drop down, and you'll see events. Yep, and we also post links on Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that where you're going to be places. So people can just follow us on social media. Makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's jump into the questions.
All righty.
The first question comes from Hiroju, I think it's pronounced. How do you think someone becomes a Christian from being a Buddhist?
Well, gee, I don't know that there's a real simple answer to that. Since I was never a Buddhist, I couldn't tell you from personal experience. Generally, people of other religious persuasions who become Christians are confronted at some point either with the inadequacies of their own view, intellectually or existentially, or with the proclamation of the gospel. And of course that always has to happen, but sometimes it's the proclamation that comes first. Other times the proclamation is received because of awareness of inadequacies, etc. And then people change their view. The Holy Spirit works in their heart and they put their confidence in Christ rather than in their own religious view. I mean, it's a simple way of putting it, and it doesn't seem to be particularly insightful. I'm wondering if maybe this is a question that has to do specifically with Buddhism and some of the peculiar notions of Buddhism. But it'd be hard for me to speak to this because I don't traffic with a lot of people who used to be Buddhist, and they tell me how they've changed their view. There are a lot of Americans who are enamored with Buddhism who, it turns out, know almost nothing about it. And that's just they're having a little fling with a religious enterprise. A lot of times these are folks who say they're spiritual but not religious. And so they find a spirituality that makes a low demand on them that maybe is popular with their friends, and mm-hmm. and they kind of play around with that for a while.
I think the irony is that if you're actually following traditional Buddhism, it's one of tremendous burdens and traditions and rituals. I have a relative of mine married a Japanese woman who's Buddhist, mm-hmm. and she's a wonderful person, but she practices her Buddhism, and it's one of appeasing the spirits, of the rituals of putting food out on New Year's Eve and, mm-hmm. and other things like that, you know, to try to, like I said, please the spirits, to try to earn good favor from whoever's out there, because mm-hmm. they're not They're not theists. There's mm-hmm. no God, but they do believe in the spirit world. And I think it's just one of tremendous burden of trying to make a, trying to appease and trying to earn good favor.
Yeah.
And so I think, I mean, the gospel and the grace, I think, would have tremendous mm-hmm. impact for, with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just thinking about what you're saying, because I, having lived in Thailand in the past, Thailand being a Buddhist mm-hmm. country, there actually is a lot of animism mixed in with Buddhism. And so they're kind of practiced together, but they are, I think, strictly speaking, they are separate mm-hmm. enterprises. Mm-hmm. So you have, like, in a certain sense, America's kind of a Christian ish nation historically, but it's really secular at gut level, all right? In the same way, Thailand was a Buddhist nation, kind of, but at a gut level, they're really animist. And so the idea of appeasing spirits by putting food out for them and having little houses mm-hmm. on the property, you've displaced the spirits' home by building a house, so you build this little house. It looks like a birdhouse, mm-hmm. kind of at shoulder level, and then there's a little place you can put food. All of these are attempts to try to appease spirits, but I don't know that they have much to do with Buddhism proper, which, as you pointed out, is a non-theistic religion. God doesn't enter into that at all, but it's kind of dismal, too. I mean, life mm-hmm. is suffering. That's a core principle, in that suffering is a result of desire, and so you follow certain disciplines in order to minimize desire and minimize the significance.
To rise above it, or to shield yourself from
it. And eventually, you know, you end up disappearing. There is no enduring self in Buddhism. That's mm-hmm. not consistent with their theology. So it strikes me as a rather dismal religion. Certainly on an emotional level, I think Christianity has a lot more to offer, just on that basis.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been talking about with your book, and in the previous episode of this podcast, you were talking about Christianity being the best explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, somebody who's a Buddhist is going to, you know, you talk about in your tactics, the taking the roof off.
Mm-hmm.
God has created all of us, so there's going to be, I'm sorry, the back of the book. So we all know the end of the story, because
right.
we're all created by God. We're all created the same way. And we have in us desires and interests and impulses. And those are going to be best fulfilled in the biblical worldview.
They're best explained,
in Christianity.
Right. We make sense of it. Exactly.
And so you talk to a Buddhist, instead of suppressing reality, Christianity takes on reality.
Right.
So it's going to be more satisfying. Yeah. Next question comes from My Plumber Tim. Regarding Hebrews 9:26.
Tim's a regular, I think.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Regarding Hebrews 9:26, open your Bible. How mm-hmm. can that be the end of the ages when nearly as much time has passed between us and Jesus as Abraham and Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
So the writer of Hebrews is saying we're in the end of the ages, and yet,
all right, let me just find out what it says.
A whole bunch more time has passed.
Yeah. Here it's talking about the suffering of Christ. I'm just looking for, what is the verse in question? 26?
9:26.
Well, that verse says, otherwise Jesus would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Okay, you don't really need to know the whole theological flow of thought here, I think, to get a sense of what he's talking about with the phrase that is really the motivation for the question, and that is the end of the ages, or the consummation of the ages is the way the NASB puts it. Either way, it still can be understood the same way. I think the temptation is to read that in temporal terms, in terms of temporal duration, like, okay, we have this age, and we have the last age, and this is just a small part of the big picture, okay? And so this is a small amount of time. But, of course, it hasn't been a small amount of time. It's been 2,000 years since Hebrews has been written. 2,000 years before Hebrews was written was, that was Abraham, you know. So it's like that's, wow, that's how could this be the end of the ages, you know, when so much time has passed? But what he doesn't understand, I think, is that the end of the age means the end. It doesn't mean a duration of time. It means a segment of time. So let's just say you're at Disneyland. You're going to all these little rides, and you say you're saving the big one for last. You say, this is the last ride. This can be the last ride, whether the ride lasts 60 seconds or 15 minutes. It could be the longest ride. The point was that it's the last ride. It's the end. It's the final thing. And by the same token, in the outworking of God's economy, and this is a significant principle or topic, I should say, of the book of Hebrews. This is how it's all coming together in the person of Christ. Everything that came before sets us up historically for this time when Jesus comes, and it's the consummation, it's the ending of it, it's the finish, it's the final thing. And that's part of one of the main themes of Hebrews. Jesus died once for all, the final sacrifice. He's done it all. Now, there may be a lot of time that passes afterwards as this final thing is worked out in the lives of individuals throughout history. But in terms of the economy of God, this is the last ride, right? We are in the end days in that regard, even though these end days have been as long as the prior days from Abraham until Jesus. We're not talking about duration here. We're talking about the outworking of the plan of God.
Okay. Next question comes from the mortal fool. Do you think shouty street preaching works? I daily pass and pray for a guy who I think turns off far more people than ever listen to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots of things work in the grace of God that we may not think are very effective. My opinion about these things is there's very few people, I think, that can do this effectively. I do know a few of them. We have some friends that do this very well, and God honors that. They have substance. They use apologetics. They're often funny, and so they can be effective. A lot of people, I think, are out there trying to be faithful using a mode of preaching, though, and communication that really is not well suited for this time. And consequently, they don't really get an effective hearing. And I think in many cases, they just end up putting people off and making Christianity look odd in ways that it doesn't need to look odd. There's plenty of odd things already about Christianity that are part of Christianity. We should avoid making it look any worse than it actually appears to people. And so they would be better off, I think, trying to find a different way to engage people instead of using a bullhorn or a microphone, maybe just talking to people who want to talk to them in the streets and having a conversation. I think that's probably going to be much more effective. In most cases, like I said, there are some exceptions and friends that we have that seem to do this well. But I think most of the times that I've actually seen it, I've cringed a little bit. I prayed for the brother who's been doing that, just like our questioner has done, because I take them as brothers in Christ, the ones that I've seen. But at the same time, I think, you know, this is probably not the most effective way to communicate the gospel.
Yeah, our friends at Striving for Eternity, Andrew Rappaport, mm-hmm. they teach this method, and they're quite effective at it. Mm-hmm. But it's not just out there yelling at people,
right,
as they go by. They're trying to engage people.
Yeah.
And like you've talked about throwing the chum out.
Yeah.
You know, trying to catch people's attention and start a conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. That's it for this episode. And it is the second episode, so that's it for this week, too.
There you go.
You can send us your questions on Twitter. Use hashtag STRAsk. Got two episodes a week, Mondays and Thursdays. And I'm Alinda the Enforcer with Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.